Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. The message this week is titled, The Christmas Pageant. Thank you to Don, Jeff, Earl, and Rhonda for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Luke 2, 1-7, which Jeff will read as part of the welcome.
Good morning. Welcome to the services of the Beamsville Church of Christ. My name is Jeff Taylor, and I welcome the folks who are here in person and those who are listening to us online. I'm going to start with some announcements. There are birthday greetings for Earl. That's today. I know that because I'm also on the list for tomorrow. And Tabitha. There's an announcement here that my wife and I are getting rid of our landline. We're finally coming into the 21st century, so if you call us on that line, pretty soon you won't be able to. Talk to us if you need our cell numbers. We're not going to smoke signals or anything like that. Some prayer requests. Len has pneumonia, and Jenny's family in the Philippines has been affected by Typhoon Odette, so please keep her and her extended family in your prayers. And Paul M. has been diagnosed with cancer, and he is going to undergo surgery early in the new year. I also have one card. Somebody came up to me with this big thank you. Oh, I'm getting thanked. But we're all getting thanked. To the Beamsville Church of Christ family, thank you for the beautiful flowers we received after Mom's passing. I'm so grateful my mom was able to find a church where she felt loved and a part of. She loved you all very much. Thank you for all the support shown to my family this past year. God has blessed us deeply with your love, Kristen and Kennedy. So, all right. I will conclude with a reading to kind of set the tone, and then I'll read today's reading. From the book of Jeremiah, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land." Today's reading is from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them."
Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas to everyone. Glad that you are with us. We had some unexpected snow yesterday, and Barbara and I were on our way to my sister's place in Ancaster to have an early Christmas with siblings and chatting with my brother online from Vancouver, and it was a nice, warm feeling, only to come home and slip and slide a little bit in the snow, so I hope everyone stays safe. Christmas means different things to different people. And however you choose to celebrate Christmas, I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas this time, this year. I found an interesting article I wanted to share with you. It happened in Berlin. A man from the West African country of Gambia, who was not used to Germany's winter weather, woke up to find his car had gone completely white overnight and called police to complain that vandals had painted his car white. Police in the central German town of Heidelheim discovered that the man had mistaken snow for paint when he looked down from his apartment window. To him, it looked like paint when he was looking down on the car from the fifth floor. He was totally worried that it wasn't a hoax and that he would have a different color of car. Just interesting how people perceive things. And at Christmas, we all have different perceptions. We remember what it was like when we were younger, and maybe we've changed those routines over the years and celebrated Christmas in a unique way. So I'm going to ask you to go back with me a little bit, back into your younger years, for those of us who are a bit older. How many of you, by a show of hands, remember in grade school, public school, participating in the school Christmas concert? How many did that? Wow, that's just about everyone. And that's marvelous. And can you look back and think of those memories and some of the interesting things that happened? In our case, my case, and maybe it's the same with yours, parents were welcome to come to the Christmas concert. And there'd be a lot of laughter, a lot of joy, and a lot of good times celebrating with one another. I came across this article. I thought you would get a kick out of it. It's called Reptiles Reconciled. Now, here's the story. I'll never forget the Christmas of my seventh year. I was going to sing several carols with my classmates in the Christmas pageant at school. We had been practicing for about a month. A week before the pageant, my mother's family had their Christmas celebration. Mother had been bragging about how I was going to sing at school, and I was cajoled into singing one of the carols for the Coulter clan gathered there. Telling my aunt which carol to play, I sang out as sweetly and sincerely as only a seven-year-old can. Hark, old herald's angel sings, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth, so mercy smiles, 'cause God and reptiles reconciled. That's as far as I got because my aunt could no longer play the piano. She was laughing so hard. My uncle laughed so hard he spilled his drink on his lap, and when he tried to mop it up, he lost his balance and slid out of his chair. I was mortified. I had no idea why everyone was laughing at me. I burst into tears and ran upstairs to my bedroom crying. I really was surprised when my oldest and most straight-laced aunt came into my room. I had always been a little afraid of her. She tenderly took me in her arms and with loving words told me not to cry. Everyone was laughing because of the wonderful new words I had sung for that Christmas carol. And even though everyone else had learned it a different way, mine was so much better. So she kissed me and then she washed my face and told me to come downstairs with her because there was a surprise waiting for me. Hand in hand, we took the stairs down to the living room. Just as we got there, the music began to play and the whole Coulter clan began to sing my own words. As I stood listening to them sing my misconstrued version of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, I felt more loved than I ever had in my life. My lips were still trembling as I stepped forward and began to sing. As my extended family sang carol after carol and arms slipped around each other in a warm, familiar glow, I realized Christmas wasn't about festive decorations or the Christmas tree, or even the gifts under it. Christmas was about love given freely and with joy. As one of my older cousins gave me a squeeze and a smile, I was sure, hark, old Harold's angel was singing with us. And I had gotten the words right after all. Well, Christmas is unique in a lot of ways. Came across this other article that I wanted to share with you that I thought was unique. It was simply called The Christmas Pageant. So I freely admit going back in my mind, when Our family lived in a little town called Bronte. Now it's all Oakville. And the school concert and the plays and parents packing in the kindergarten room and all the singing. And maybe you can go back and remember those times as well. My father used to tell us, he lived out in the country up in Thessalon, and there was a school which was a far distance away. And it was unique that people even back then, of course I wasn't even born there, but back then they would pack up their family in the sleigh. And they'd all congregate at this public school that would be heated by a wood stove. And people coming off the farm, and they would just sing carols and sing and enjoy and have a wonderful time. You can't put a price of love and wonderful warm feelings for things like that. And I hope this year that somehow you'll have the opportunity to feel that warmth of love. And people who have already passed their arms around you and remembering that Christmas is this time of this Savior, that this time of year is, no matter how difficult life is, we have a Christ who is born, not only into the world, but into our hearts, who lives in us, remembering the greatest gift of all when he says to us, I am your gift. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. And you can unwrap that gift every single day. Christmas helps us to remember this. I want to read another Christmas pageant story this past week because I thought it was lovely and I thought it was unique. I could never figure out who exactly wrote this, but I thought you'd enjoy it. My husband and I had been happily married, most of the time, for 5 years, but hadn't been blessed with a baby. I decided to do some serious praying and promise God that if he would give us a child, I would be a perfect mother. Love it with all my heart, raise the child with the word of God as my guide. God answered my prayers and blessed us with a son. The next year, God blessed us with another son. The following year, he blessed us with another son. The year after that, we were blessed with a daughter. Hallelujah. My husband thought we had been blessed right into poverty. We now had 4 children, and the oldest was only 4 years old. I learned never to ask God for anything unless I meant it. As a minister once told me, if you pray for rain, make sure you carry an umbrella. I began reading a few verses of the Bible to the children each day as they lay in their cribs. I was off to a good start. God had entrusted me with 4 children, and I did not want to disappoint God. I tried to be patient the day the children smashed 2 dozen eggs on the kitchen floor, searching for baby chicks. I tried to be understanding when they started a hotel for homeless frogs in the spare bedroom, although it took me nearly 2 hours to catch all 23 frogs. When my daughter poured ketchup all over herself and rolled up in a blanket to see how it felt to be a hot dog, I tried to see the humor rather than the mess. In spite of changing over 25,000 diapers, never eating a hot meal, never sleeping for more than 30 minutes at a time, I still thank God daily for my children. While I couldn't keep my promise to be a perfect mother, I didn't even come close, I did keep my promise to raise them in the Word of God. I knew I was missing the mark just a little when I told my daughter that we were going to church to worship God. And she wanted to bring a bar of soap along to wash up Jesus too, meaning worship, she thought. Something was lost in the translation when I explained that God gave us everlasting life, and my son thought it was generous of God to give us his last wife. My proudest moment came during the children's Christmas pageant. My daughter was playing Mary, two of my sons were shepherds, and my youngest son was a wise man. This was their moment to shine. My five-year-old shepherd had practiced his line, "We found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." But he was nervous and said the baby was wrapped in wrinkled clothes. My four-year-old Mary said, "That's not wrinkled clothes, silly. That's dirty, rotten clothes." And a wrestling match broke out between Mary and the shepherd and was stopped by an angel who bent her halo and lost her left wing. I slouched a little lower in my seat when Mary dropped the doll representing baby Jesus, and it bounced down the aisle crying, "Mama, Mama." And Mary grabbed the doll, wrapped it back up, and held it tightly as the wise men arrived. My other son stepped forward wearing a bathrobe and a paper crown, knelt at the manger, and announced, "We are the wise men, and we are bringing gifts of gold, common sense, and fur." The congregation dissolved into laughter, and the pageant got a standing ovation. "I've never enjoyed a Christmas program as much as this one," laughed the minister, wiping tears from his eyes. "For the rest of my life, I'll never hear the Christmas story without thinking of gold, common sense, and fur. My children are my pride and my joy and my greatest blessing," I said as I dug through my purse for an aspirin. "Jesus had no servants, yet they called him master. Jesus had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicines, yet he was a healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him." I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas time this year with family and friends. And even if you aren't with all the people that you'd love to be with, that you could just spend a little bit of time sitting by yourself and going to that manger scene, looking into the eyes of Jesus, who is God and who is also us, looking into this great gift of all, Christ Mass, the worship of the Christ who lives in us and for us. I'm not sure if this tradition still exists, but how many of you have candy canes on your Christmas tree, or you receive or give candy canes at Christmas? Okay, so that was a fairly popular thing years ago. And I came across this one article this week, and I thought you would really enjoy this. I found it very, very interesting. It's called "The Story of the Candy Cane," with a lot of scriptural reference to it and spiritual reference. Again, this will be a brief message, but I just want to share it with you. It goes this way, the story of the candy cane. There once were two villages in a far-off land. One was in a valley and one was on the mountaintop. The people in the mountain village wanted to give each person in the valley a gift of love at Christmas. The people in the valley were having difficult times, but those in the mountain village were doing well. Sometimes when we're on a mountaintop, we can help those who are going through a valley in their lives too. So a committee was formed of townspeople to see if someone would be able to think of something special. Money was limited, and each gift had to be of equal value to each person. After much time and discussion, a decision was finally reached. An elderly gentleman who had loved Jesus for so many years and who was well-respected and he was loved came up with the idea of the candy cane. Now, you may be thinking, what's so special about a candy cane, and how can it ever be tied in with the real meaning of Christmas? Well, here's how and why. Number one, the candy cane is in the shape of a shepherd's staff. Jesus is our shepherd, and we are his flock. A sheep follows his own shepherd, knows his voice, and trusts him, and knows that he is totally safe with him. The sheep will follow no other shepherd but their own. And this is how we are to be with Jesus if we truly follow him. A couple of scriptures, John 10 and verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And I hope that over this Christmas season, we can remember that. He is our shepherd. And then Isaiah 40 and verse 11. And Isaiah has so many scriptures referring to the life of Christ, the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Isaiah 40, 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And then going back to the candy cane. Upside down, the candy cane is a J, the first letter of Jesus' name. It's made of hard candy to remind us that Christ is the rock of our salvation. And in Acts chapter 4, I think it's around verse 12, says there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then number 3, the red stripes on the candy cane represent the blood that Christ shed on the cross for each one of us, so that eternal life may be ours. He redeems us and cleanses us with blood, the only thing that can wash away our sins. In Acts 22, Paul says, and now what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins, calling on his name. Christmas and salvation are linked together. So Ananias tells Paul, this is what you need to do, to get up, to be baptized, to wash away your sins. It is a Christmas salvation story. The Christ who has come to live in us. And then number 4, the white stripes on a candy cane represent the virgin birth, sinless life, and purity of our Lord. He's the only human being who ever lived on this earth who never committed sin, even though he was tempted just as we are, yet he never sinned. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed, for you are like sheep going astray. But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. We have this guide, this shepherd who lives in each one of us. And then number 5, the narrow red stripes on candy cane symbolize that by his stripes wounds we are healed. Before the crucifixion, Jesus was beaten. The crown of thorns was placed on his head. His back was whipped. But we're healed by those wounds, as horrible as it was for him. Isaiah 53 and verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And then number 6, the flavoring in the candy cane is peppermint, which is similar to hyssop. Hyssop is of the mint family and was used in the Old Testament times for purification and for sacrifice. And so in John 19:29, a jar of vinegar was there, so they soaked it in a sponge and put it on a sponge and stalk and hyssop plant and lifted it to his lips. And then number 7, when we break our candy cane, it reminds us that Jesus' body was broken for us. And when we have communion, it's a reminder of what he did for us. 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this, take communion, in remembrance of me." And then lastly, when we share our candy cane and give some to someone else in love, and because we want to, represents the same love of Jesus, because he is to be shared with one another in love. And the last scripture, 1 John 4:7-8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I wish for you, and Barb and I wish for you, a wonderful Christmas, a lot of joy, a lot of laughter, maybe some good food, but to remember the Christ is the greatest gift of all. Amen.
Good morning. Some of what I'm going to say up here is fiction, and some of it is true, and I'll let you be discerning and decide what is fiction and what is true. Yesterday, I went to the mall. I had to go. I just had to see Santa. He had come all the way from the North Pole. COVID or no COVID, I just had to go. It was my only chance. I wouldn't get to see him again until next year. I waited and waited and waited in line until it was last my turn to see Santa. At last he said, "Come, child, come sit on my lap." So I did. I leaned on his soft belly. It was so cozy. "Have you been a good girl?" he asked. "I don't give toys to naughty children, you know."
"Of course I have been good," I said. "Have you cried?" "I don't like crying." "Oh no, I never cry. Sometimes I feel like it, but I don't cry."
"Good girl," he said. "Now tell me, what would you like for Christmas? I can have my elves make whatever trinket your heart desires. And then do you know what? I will bring them to your house on Christmas Eve. I will come down your chimney. I'll fill your stocking with candy and toys, and you will find lots of gifts under the tree. What could be better?" What could be better? Jesus knocked on my door. He said, "Come, child, come unto me." "Oh, no, I couldn't," I said. "I'm not good enough to come into your presence." "Nonsense! My love is not conditional on your goodness. I died on the cross, and when I did, I took your sins with me there. In my eyes and in God's eyes, you are holy and pure and faultless. You are just perfect. I molded you in your mother's womb. I have delighted in you since before you were born. You and I are one. I will always be there to comfort you with my love. You will shine in this world like stars lighting up the sky as you share the message of my forgiving love for others. You will share in my glory." I came. He lavished me with gifts, not trinkets, but the true gift of his Spirit within me. So I decided, instead of celebrating Santa Mass this year, I would celebrate Christmas. Let us pray. Thank you, God, so much for sending your Son, Jesus, and thank you, God, for all that he has done for us, and thank you for him forgiving our sins, that no matter what we're doing now or what we have done or what we will do, that's not conditional on our salvation, but only our faith in you. And we pray that we will be your ambassadors and your people, but thank you so much that when we're not, that you are there to forgive. Give us through Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Don. I think years from now, we'll forget the words that he said, but we will certainly remember about common sense. And if anything comes through, I think around the table it was driven home that common sense is that Christmas is about the truest gift of all, the gift of God's Son. Turning back to Jeremiah, God says, I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Thanks be to God that we have seen that day come. I'm going to turn things over to Earl now. He has one announcement for you, and then he's going to finish with the closing prayer.
This past week, the elders had a meeting, and at that meeting, one of the things that was expressed was our thankfulness for so many of you in the congregation who quietly go about and do things behind the scenes, whether it be preparing meals and giving them, you know, to someone in need. And we wish you a Merry Christmas and a great time with your families, even though those numbers may be limited as well. But we wish you God's blessings. We appreciate each one of you. We give thanks to God for you and for all the good things that you do. And we appreciate very much your willingness to be here this morning to support us as a congregation and to support each other. So we wish you God's blessings. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you put a plan into motion to send your Son into this world. And as we celebrate that at the time of Christmas this year, we recognize that his mission was far deeper, that it was to redeem mankind, to lay the groundwork for a plan that would involve us living with you throughout all eternity. And for that, we just cannot fathom your love and your wisdom and your care and concern for mankind. So as we celebrate Christ's birth at this time of year, we also give you thanks for the good things that are going on in your name, in this community and within this church. We thank you for each person here, and we pray your blessings on each family. We pray for health and peace and happiness, and a greater understanding of the price that was paid for our salvation. We pray that you will bless us as we depart now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.